As most, if not all of you know, Mark was the first gospel to be written. It's concise, and it gets to the point. It doesn't mess with lineages or birth stories or tales about the young Jesus and his precocity or flights to Egypt. No, it goes right in to the part of the story that matters for us. His ministry and his trial and his crucifixion and his death. Mark has set the story up in the first verses of his gospel by telling about John and how he came and he preached his message, a call to repentance. And just as quickly as John shows up on the stage, he's hustled off to jail. He's played his part. And we hear that Jesus has started preaching, saying that the kingdom of God was coming and it was time to repent. That's all the background we have before today's story. Now, as much as I like Mark's gospel, and I like the way he tells the story, there's something fishy, no pun intended, about what he says. Jesus is walking along the shore of the lake, and there he happens to see Simon, who later we will know as Peter, and Andrew, and he tells them, "Come with me. You're fishermen, and I'll make you fisher of men." And they do it. They drop their nets. They abandon their work, and they follow him. It stretches credulity. But that's not all. Because this trio continues to wander down the shoreline, and they see James and John. And once again, Jesus invites them, commands them, we don't know, to follow him. And they drop their nets, they abandon their boat. "So long, Dad, we're out of here." And thus begins the ministry of Jesus. I don't know about you, but I've never found it that easy to respond to the call to serve God. I took a long, long time before I finally consented to go to divinity school. And even after I graduated, I put off being ordained. I had questions. I had concerns. I had worries. I wondered what cost I would have to pay to do this. Over the years, I thought about the cost that is paid by my family. There was no moment where I ran off with great joy to just follow God. I don't know about you. Maybe you have thrown yourself in fully and wholly, without question, to follow the way of the Lord. If so, I say God bless you. Mark's account, of course, is not meant to be read as a history. Mark wasn't writing literature. He wasn't worried about things like plot holes or character developments. Mark was telling a story after the fact, and it was lifting up a witness to what Jesus had done. It was didactic. It was teaching a lesson. And the story he wanted to tell was how Jesus, through his preaching, was able to touch the lives, the hearts, the souls of people, and they would give up everything to follow him. Now, you and I know how the story is going to unfold. And we can find comfort in the fact that Simon and Andrew and James and John are not always going to be these avatars of perfection. We know that they are going to squabble amongst themselves, and they are going to fight for precedence. And when the times grow dark, they are going to fall away. They're not perfect. And Jesus called them anyway. Why do you think he called them? The text doesn't tell us. The fact is, he could have found some bakers. He could have found some carpenters. Maybe some divinity school dropouts. He could have found some bureaucrats in town. Some soldiers. But he chose these four fishermen. No reason is given. But I will speculate that Jesus saw in them something they did not know they had. Fishermen today and fishermen 2,000 years ago worked long, hard hours. Fishing was dangerous, and it could be boring, and it required persistence. All of these qualities are the kinds of things that would stand someone well if they are doing evangelism. Perhaps Jesus thought, these guys are tough, and they will have what it takes to follow my way. Jesus works with some surprising folks in his ministry. He chooses the outsider. He chooses the person who's carrying a burden. He chooses the person who is often looked down upon by others. And he finds in those people strength and courage and faith. Now, I've been preaching here long enough that my next rhetorical trick will not come as a surprise to you. As I ask, what does this lesson have to say to us today? I am all but sure that if you go down to Lake Mascoma and fish today, that Jesus is not going to walk down the shore and choose you to do something. But that's because Jesus has the church and the Holy Spirit to do those things. He will look at us, and he'll nudge us, and he'll prompt us, and he'll challenge us. And we may say no, but he'll keep at it until hopefully, finally, we relent. As most of you know, because you study your church calendars carefully, we have annual meeting in 3 weeks. And due to a quirk in the liturgical calendar, we are reading this lesson from Scripture today. Many of you have been approached about volunteering for the church and helping out with its ministries. And to you, on behalf of the nominating committee, and on behalf of the congregation, I say thank you. But there are still opportunities for you to do ministry in this church. And perhaps it's in a way you would not have considered. Perhaps you thought, that's not my strength. Surprise yourself. Think about things that are outside of your comfort zone. Think about areas where you might want to grow in faith or skills. Think about the examples of Simon and Andrew and James and John. And then do something that seems wholly unbelievable. Raise your hand and say, I'll do it. Hopefully, you will find what you volunteer for to be amongst the most rewarding experiences you've ever had. And maybe you won't. But even then, I hope that it will help you grow in your faith and knowledge of the Lord. You may be surprised. If someone had said to Simon that morning on the beach that you are going to become a great evangelist and you are going to spread the word and bring many people to faith to follow Jesus, and then you will be crucified yourself, he probably would have looked at you dumbly and wondered what you could be drinking that morning. But that's the amazing thing about a life of faith, is that we can wind up doing things that surprise us and will surprise others. We don't know why these men chose to follow Jesus. There's a lot of backstory that's not there. They may have heard him preach. They may have been in the congregation and been thinking about this for a while. Maybe they've been set up for this by John and his teachings. It doesn't matter, though. What matters is that the call went out and they responded. And they did amazing things. The call's going out again for each of us here to serve God's church in whatever way we can. My hope and my prayer is that we won't look at this story with skeptical eyes, picking apart what doesn't work and what doesn't make sense. But instead, we will be inspired. Our faith will be set on fire. And we will show the same kind of trust and hope and faith that Simon and Andrew and James and John did one morning on the shores of Galilee.